Welcome, everybody, to today's episode of The Lindsay Elmore Show. When I first started this podcast, I picked up the phone and I called Samantha Lee Wright. And that is because Samantha has been podcasting for a long time. And I was so grateful that she shared with me tips and tricks to get the show off the ground, get it going, make it excellent, and make it sustainable for years to come. She has translated all of her years of learning into a new book called Pineapple Podcasting. And today we discuss why health and wellness entrepreneurs and health and wellness minded people might consider starting a podcast to get their story out there to more audiences. After that, I talk about the health benefits of podcasting and the health benefits of listening to podcasts. So take heart, everybody. You are doing something good for your health right now. Let's get to the show. Welcome to The Lindsay Elmore Show, a podcast that helps you find fulfillment amidst chaos. On this show, I interview thought leaders, doctors, creatives, spiritual gurus, and game changers who inspire you to pursue your dreams, overcome obstacles, and leave your mark. Starting from zero, Samantha Lee Wright analyzed, strategized, and bootstrapped her way into podcasting fame. With no connections and a shoestring budget, she started her own podcast, The Essential Oil Revolution, which quickly skyrocketed to success, becoming the world's top podcast in its category in a matter of weeks after launching. Samantha Lee Wright is not only a master of her platform, but a passionate teacher of the podcasting medium, leading the next generation of podcasters into the future with clarity and confidence. She explains it all in her new book, Pineapple Podcasting. Today, we're going to talk about why your voice might need to be on a podcast and how you can bring your dream to reality. Samantha Lee Wright, welcome to the Lindsay Elmore Show.
Thank you so much for having me, Lindsay. I'm excited.
So when I started this podcast, you know that you were one of the first people that I called for help and advice and encouragement, because you have many years into podcasting. And I feel like, especially in 2020, everybody was like, perfect time to start a podcast. But you were ahead of the curve, especially for most women, and especially for most women in the health and wellness arena. So what gave you the inspiration to start a podcast in the first place?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, really, the inspiration came from the fact that I wanted my podcast to exist. And that's kind of first and foremost for anyone that's even thinking about, you know, starting a podcast, you know, make it something that you want to listen to. Because, you know, kind of backtrack before I started my podcast, I'd just been introduced to this world of essential oils. Okay. And I've been into health and wellness for a long time, but essential oils were kind of new to me. And I wanted to learn everything. I was hearing all these stories and all these great testimonials. And I was like, gosh, these things sound cool. Well, let me go to my podcast app and, you know, learn about them, because I love to learn through audio. And I've been a longtime podcast listener. So I go and I open my app and I find a couple shows about essential oils and I tune in, but nothing's really the caliber of podcast that I wanted to listen to. And I went, gosh, you know there's so many people out there just like me that are dying to learn everything they can about essential oils. Why don't I start a podcast about it? You know, and then I get to call awesome people like Lindsay Elmore and be like, hey, want to come on my show and let me pick your brain about oils?
Well, and I think that that is something that's so powerful, is that you have to want your show to be in existence. Because I was kind of the opposite of you. When I first started in essential oils, I was like, I will go to the 400-page textbook and I will analyze it myself. And I started teaching other people about it. And the natural progression for a lot of my followers was, now Lindsay's going to start an essential oil podcast. But that was not what I wanted. It was not the show that I wanted. And to be honest, you had already done it. You had done it and had had such powerful conversations, had really started that education. And I was like, you know, this is just not where I think I'm going. And it took me over 2.5 years to really think, if I'm going to start a podcast, what do I want to bring into existence? Why do you think that podcasting is such an amazing communication medium, both between the host and the guest, as well as the show and the audience?
It's such an intimate form of communication. You know, I very intentionally knew that I did not want to use video as part of my podcast. And kudos to you, Lindsay, that you make video a part of your podcast. And, you know, people like Marie Forleo and everyone who does video really well. I don't like video. Me being on camera with you right now, not my thing. I've gotten better over the years. But, you know, I feel like that's one aspect of traditional podcasting, which is audio only typically, that is just really special, because when you are hearing someone's voice, and especially when you're listening to podcasts through earbuds or something, like a lot of people will listen, you know, through their ears, it's literally your voice going straight into somebody's ear. And there's just this intimate quality to it that helps you connect with that listener. You know, even though, you know, I sit in my office and I'm talking on my mic and I can't see the people that are listening to my show, but I feel like I'm talking directly to them. And because I get emails all the time, people being like, oh, Sam, I listen to you every time I walk my dogs, you know, you're in my ears, or every time I commute to work, you're in my car. And there's something so special about that. And I think especially for people maybe like me that are kind of shy on camera or something, you get to take away that image, which for a lot of people, you can make a snap judgment about someone's image on a video. I mean, people, as soon as they saw me on, you know, your video, I'm sure made lots of assumptions about me. I don't know what those are, but they could be good, bad, ugly, in between. So when you take that element out as well, you kind of give yourself this chance to let people get to know you before they judge you for the way you look or the way your office looks or the clothes you're wearing or anything like that, which I really enjoy that aspect of it a lot.
I also think that sitting down to podcast is the only time, basically ever in my entire life, that I sit down and have 30, 45 hour long conversations with people that I either know. I mean, I know you, but you and I aren't like tight besties. It's not like we've known each other for 20 years. And yet I get to sit down with you, focus and concentrate on what you are here to bring as gifts to me, to the audience, to everyone. And that, I think, is remarkable. And that is the intimacy that you're speaking of that was probably, I think, the most unexpected benefit of starting a podcast. And what about I think a lot of people are scared to tell their story. And I know for me on this show, my own personal journey comes up a lot. How much do you think that starting the podcast, hearing stories of other people overcoming health challenges and coming through to the other side has informed your own health practices? And how much do you share with your audience about where's the vulnerability and where have I struggled? How much of your own personal journey do you inject into your podcast? And, you know, you did write a book about kind of the mechanics of podcasting called Pineapple Podcasting. So also speak to us about are there different ways to approach vulnerability and openness on podcasts? And how do you kind of decide what kind of show that you want after you know that you want your show to be out there?
Right. Yeah. Well, there's a lot to unpack there. So I'll do my best. But, you know, first I'll say that the people who have come onto my show and shared their stories, which is always what we want them to do. You know, if you're going to be a guest on someone's show, we want to hear their stories. That's what people love to hear. We don't just want your mechanical advice about XYZ. Like, we want to hear your story. And so I'm always trying to kind of get that out of my guests for my listeners' benefit, but I benefit immensely as well. I mean, people have come onto my show that have impacted my life for the better in so many ways. Like, I remember I'm going through this project right now where I'm going back and sort of re-editing a lot of my earlier episodes. And so I was listening back to, I think it was episode number 6 or 8, you know, 5 years ago, I recorded this. So I'm going back and listening to this, my voice talking to the Iron Cowboy. Do you know the Iron Cowboy?
Oh yeah. James Lawrence, who, you know, 50 triathlons in 50 days or
50 Ironmans.
50 Ironman. Yeah. Just not my goals in life, but.
But I was like listening to that episode again and just being like, oh my gosh, he's who inspired me to put a little bit of working out into my mom routine, because I was like listening to myself talking to him about, oh, like, how do you find the time? I'm a mom. It's so hard. And then it was like this time travel experience of like, oh my gosh, that was the moment where James Lawrence kind of gave me permission to prioritize that. And it really changed my relationship to prioritizing my health and my working out and whatever that looks like to me. So yeah, there's a lot there. And as far as how much you share with your audience about your own personal journey, I mean, it's entirely up to you. And I think it really depends on the type of show that you have, but no doubt people who are listening to your podcast, they're only staying around. They're only going to keep listening over and over again because they like you and they trust you. And that's not to say that you have to share your deepest, darkest secrets and things like that to your audience, but no doubt they love to hear about you and what's going on in your life. It took me a while to kind of crack into that for my own show because I wanted it to be such a go-to resource for essential oil education. I was like, people don't care about me. They don't want to hear about my story. But whenever I would share a little bit about my own personal journey, whatever's going on, people responded so well and they loved it. Right now, my daughter is battling Lyme disease and that's been—
Oh, wow. I had no idea.
Yeah, that happened. Well, she was diagnosed like a year and a half ago. I think she'd been battling it for a good year and a half before we finally got that answer. So anyway, you know, I've been sharing that journey a little bit into my podcast and getting all these great emails and messages from people with their advice. And, you know, they're always checking in, how's your daughter doing and things like that. And that's been nice. And it's been healing for me to be able to have a community of people to share that journey with. And it's had its tough moments too. Like when it first happened, it was such a scary thing that we went through. And I felt kind of all this, I didn't really want to share it yet because I didn't want my inbox to be filled with, you know, 100 different pieces of advice of do this and do that. So there's that side of it where you were allowed to protect yourself from that if you're not ready, you know, like if you're not ready to open up about something, you don't have to. There's definitely things I don't share, but I'm pretty much an open book too. So I'm trying to think of anything I haven't shared with my audience.
Oh, I mean, I'm sure there's plenty. And as you mentioned, it's all about you deciding what kind of show that you want. Do you want a really personal show that is about you and your journey? That's one podcast, and there are great podcasts about that. Do you want a show more like yours, where you're focusing on a content area, a subject matter? And, you know, a cool thing about podcasting is it really doesn't matter what subject that is. There will be someone else who is totally in to that thing. And you may not have a million listeners, but you may have like 300 of the most avid listeners that are there hanging on your every word. It just comes down, I think, to passion. And so I think many of our listeners may say, okay, fine. I know I have a story, or I know there's something that I want to talk about. I know that there is something that I want to contribute to this podcasting space. But I think a lot of people think that the barrier to entry, the amount of money and time and resources that it takes to get going, is completely overwhelming. And so how do you help people get started with just what's the minimum? What is the absolute bare minimum that it's like, look, if you can do this, you can be a podcaster?
Yeah. At the very bare minimum, if you can hit record on your, you know, iPhone, technically you could be a podcaster. And as far as the one question people always have, my book is written for bootstrappers. It's for people on a shoestring budget, because that's where I was when I started. If you have a laptop, that's definitely something that makes podcasting a lot easier. I wouldn't want to start a podcast just on my phone.
No, the editing is too much, and it's too much, and the uploading and the everything.
Yeah. So you definitely need a laptop. And then beyond that, you just need a microphone, preferably. I don't prefer the sound of an earbud as a microphone, but people can get away with it. So it really depends on how much you want to put into it, but you can get the mic I started out was $40. I spent $40 on my first ever microphone, and it was very good quality. And other than that, you can get free hosting in some places. You don't need a website. So at the end of the day, if you got a mic, a laptop, you're pretty much good to go. I think the scary part for most people is just the how-to. How do I get started? And you know, that's why I break it down in my book of, you know, here's exactly how you do it. Because as far as if you have a message to share, and you're on a tight budget, or you're not computer savvy or anything like that, podcasting is one of your best options, because compared to, you know, the 30 million active blogs out there, you have a better shot of getting seen or heard or found as a podcast. As of 2020, there's only about 750,000 active podcasts. So not even a million yet. And then you look at, there's 10 million hours of content being uploaded to YouTube every month. There is 1.5 billion active users on Facebook. I mean, podcasting is getting bigger, but it's still small enough that people are finding their space in there.
Well, and I think podcasts in a lot of ways are more work. I mean, you can upload a YouTube video, like a sensational channel that I absolutely love, is two brothers and they sit and they listen to a song that they've never heard.
Love those guys.
I love those guys. I mean, they're so entertaining and their story is compelling. They were raised in a very, very, very conservative home where they were not exposed to music. And so music that most of us have been listening to for since we were kids, they've never heard. And it's them just
tonight was slaying me. I was, yes, on the floor. Oh my gosh.
I loved it, but that's a very simple video to produce. It's very, very simple. Versus with a podcast, most podcasts have interviews, if not multiple interviews. My favorite podcasts sometimes have 5, 6, 7, 8 interviews if they're really expertly produced storytelling podcasts. So I think the fact that it is a little bit more difficult to do a podcast makes it where only people that are so just like, no, the world needs this. The world needs this information out there will continue the journey that it takes. So you say in your book that you give step-by-step instructions on like really how do you get started? So give us kind of a breakdown. If someone listening today is like, you know, I've had this idea brewing in the back of my head, maybe it's time to go for it. What do they do first, second, third, fourth, fifth?
Yeah. Gosh, I wish I had my book in front of me for my cheat sheet.
Well, hey, I can help you out on that because I do. And so your table of contents is broken down into why start a podcast. I feel like we've talked about that. Harnessing the idea, which is kind of what we talked about as far as like really, really narrow down what you're talking about.
But I'll pause you there because that is the one step that I really encourage people to take their time in the research phase, which is sort of the harnessing your idea phase, because you have to know what else is out there before you put, you're going to want to know what your competition is, right? You're going to want to know, you know, let's say I want to start a podcast about knitting, then I'm going to look up and see, well, what other podcasts are out there about knitting? Are there any that are specifically just about that? Or does it just pop up as episodes for crafting podcasts and things like that? Okay. Maybe there is another knitting podcast that's a super niche idea. Well, how long are their episodes? Is it interview based? Is it not? So you want to kind of dissect what's already out there, because you don't want to put something out there that kind of already exists. Now you're unique. So of course, anything you put out is going to be unique to you, but it doesn't hurt to know what else is out there. Like as another example, there was a girl that, she kind of approached me. I think she was feeling kind of bad. She didn't want to step on my toes. She's like, I want to start an essential oil podcast. I was like, great, you know, good luck. Go do that. And I was so proud of her that she didn't try to replicate my show, which is once a week, 30 to 45 minute long interviews. Instead, it was all her with like 5 minutes every day. So it was mm-hmm. just like short, you know, so that's a way that she differentiated herself from me. And I thought that was really smart. So you want to do your research and you want to know, and the more you listen to other podcasts, the more you're going to pick up on like, ooh, I really like their intro music. Maybe I do want to have a jingle, or, mm-hmm. oh, I like the fact that they don't have a jingle. Maybe I want to do that. Ooh, I really like the way they do their sound effects, or I like that they have this kind of segment. So the more you kind of listen to what's out there, the more you're going to start to compile your ideas and harness your idea. And what I like to kind of walk people through the steps of is treat your podcast like it's going to be the new hit show on Netflix. You know, even if you don't do video, what's your show gonna be? And you'll mm-hmm. notice that in the land of TV, everything is very formulaic. You know, you don't start a TV show about, you know, a home remodeling show one day, and then people are tuning in show after show, and they tune in, and now all of a sudden there's like a dead body in the middle of the house, and they're like, mystery now before we can renovate.
You're like, what just happened?
What the heck? You know, where it's like they're watching Jeopardy and all of a sudden, you know, they break out into song and it's like a song competition now, you know? So people, I think with podcasts, they feel a little bit like it's this wild west and it can be anything. And that's kind of true. But if you treat your podcast like it's a TV show and you create your formula as it were, then you're going to be so much more comfortable and your listeners are going to be more comfortable because they know what to expect and they'll keep coming back for those expectations. So
yeah,
you can have a lot of fun with that. And so, you know, harnessing your idea is a very important step, but once you've kind of got it, then you just got to start recording content, recording if you're doing interviews, recording yourself. If you have a very edit heavy show, as in you're going to have a lot of sound effects and music and overlaps and cuts and things like that, then start working on that and get that together until you've got a good amount of content. And then I always recommend people get some feedback from there. Not everyone does, but it's nice to get some feedback. But once you're ready to publish, it's just a matter of finding your host. And we go into what all that means in the book, and then hitting that publish button.
Yeah. And the hosting, I mean, it sounds so foreign and so scary, but it's like you've got some websites that you go to and upload your episode and it distributes them to the places that you want it to go. So let's talk now, you know, your next section after we narrow down on that idea is bringing the idea to life. And I feel like we've covered equipment, but you have an entire chapter about conducting great interviews. And this, I think, is make or break on a podcast. So what lessons have you learned about about conducting good interviews?
So many. So as I said, I'm working on a project now where I'm going back and sort of cleaning up some of my first interviews because I was terrible. I was a terrible interviewer because I would, just talk way too long. So, you know, something I've learned a lot in my later years is just getting to the point, getting to the content, getting to something helpful that people want to hear or the story or things like that, instead of kind of wasting all that time with a, how are you? And tell me about your life story before we jump in. Like, people don't want that.
No.
Yeah. So that's something I had to learn the hard way.
They want life stories. They want life stories if it's relatable and they go, ooh, that's me, or that's someone I know. I need to send them the show so that they can get the tips. You know, that's when the life story matters. But otherwise, it's like, go on, get to the point.
It's like, come on, yeah, teach me something, or share me, yeah, share something good. So that's good. And then little things about just not talking over your guests too much. And you know, that's kind of a separate tip where we could talk about doing two-track recording. I'm sure you probably do two-track recording, Lindsay, where you're recording my voice and you're recording your voice on a different track so that you can go cut out, you know, certain segments without cutting each other off. But it's still important, you know, not to cut off your guest when they're speaking too much. And even little things like the way I laugh, I'm trying to work on the way I laugh on my podcast, because if you're only hearing it, it can sound kind of weird sometimes. So that little things like that, and try not to do so much of the, you know, that kind of thing, which is really hard. It takes a lot of practice.
It does take practice. It's something I've been practicing for a really long time. But even I noticed when I started this podcast, I would not take those intentional just pause and let me think about what I'm about to say. And while the guest was talking, I would be like, And then, yes. And then you hear it and you're like, It sounds so strange. So you also have a chapter about consistency. And this, I think, is what makes podcasting a challenge. It's what makes it a job, something that you have to do on a very regular and ongoing basis. Before we get to the rest of my interview, let's take a break for a word from our sponsors. As many of you know, I have a long-standing history with Young Living. It all started many years ago when I sat in my living room floor and inhaled a bottle of essential oil. And I know it sounds crazy, but I knew my life was going to change. And it did. And in some of the ways that it changed, I didn't love. Because I spent hours researching Young Living's products. And what I would find is conflicting information that seemed over the top and sometimes unbelievable. I struggled to find evidence-based research about essential oils, about supplements. And all of that meant that not only did it take me time, but it made it more difficult for me to share products with others, help people understand that there was core science behind essential oils and behind supplements. Fast forward more than 7 years, and I have studied Young Living's products extensively, answered hundreds and thousands of questions from members around the world. And I realized that many people were still facing the same basic problem that I had. Where do you find reliable, meaningful, easy to understand, accessible information about Young Living's products? There wasn't any place to find it. That's when I decided we got to fix this problem, and the Wild Ed Club was founded. The Wild Education Club is the largest collection of Young Living education and business tools that exists anywhere in the world. There are hundreds of product videos, courses that go into really in-depth product information as well as body system information, because I personally don't think it's enough just to know products. You have to know how the body works so that you can become intuitive and understand how to select the products that are right for you and your family. If you're brand new to essential oils, or if you just want a refresher course, I have a free 26-part jumpstart course. It has 26 videos that explain what essential oils are, how they're extracted from plants, how you use them, how do you care for your diffuser, how do you make DIYs and protect your investment and be sure that you're getting out of your oils what you pay for them. All you have to do is head to yledclub.com/jumpstart and you can download the course for free. If you love the course and you think that maybe you want to give it a go, remember, your first week in the YL Education Club is always free. And when you act now and head over to yledclub.com, sign up using the code podcast21, and it will save you 20% off your annual subscription to the YL Ed Club. All you have to do is head to www.yledclub.com and use the code podcast21 at checkout to save 20% off of your annual subscription. And now, let's get back to the show. So, how often do you publish your podcast? How do you decide between the once a week or the person that you mentioned that's doing it every single day or someone like me who's doing twice a week? How do you stay consistent while, because if you really want to go up in charts, you have to have new episodes for people to be turning into. But how do you balance that in your life with it not becoming completely overwhelming?
So I kind of give this vague formula in my book that's essentially balancing what does your audience want from you and what can you realistically handle? And then finding some balance in the middle, because I'm sure my audience would probably love for me to do an episode a day about essential oils. They can't get enough of that kind of content. Realistically, I can't handle that. But realistically, you know, from the beginning, once I sort of went on my way and started building up some backlog of episodes, you know, before you hit that launch button, if you're going to do something weekly or biweekly or something, you want to have a good, I'd say 6 to 8 episodes ready to go before you get yourself on that hard deadline of producing new content. So for me, that just seemed to be what I could handle and seemed realistic. And now I only work about 5 hours a week on my podcast because it's become successful. I'm able to outsource parts of it. In the beginning, I had to do everything myself, including the editing and the images and the website and all the things. And that was probably more of like a 20-hour a week job in the beginning because I was learning and it was all new. But like I said, now it's only about 5 hours a week, which is really nice and very sustainable. But one point I want to make too, Lindsay, is you're right about if you want to kind of keep hitting the charts and you want to keep growing, putting new content out there regularly is a good thing. However, it's not a requirement. If you want to start a podcast, my advice for people who are a little worried about time management is to, from the beginning, set up your podcast as a seasonal thing. So you could say, hey, welcome to season 1 of the Samantha Lee Wright Show, right? And put out however many episodes you want that feel sustainable to you. And then when you feel like you need to take a break, and then come back with your season 2. Yes, you're going to lose some, you know, followers during that gap, but I think finding that balance of what works for you is okay. And it's also a great way to test out ideas. You know, instead of committing to like, I'm going to do this podcast every week, you can be like, hey, we're going to try a season of this and see how it goes. And I think this works really well too for people who are doing more kind of investigative journalist type of shows where it doesn't need to be an ongoing thing, but hey, you know, there's one show I'm thinking of, it's called Up and Vanish. So it's this total newbie, you know, not even a professional investigative journalist who's like, this is a really interesting cold case that I just learned about. Let me go, you know, investigate. And so he recorded his journey and he put out this, you know, podcast that was just this one season of Up and Vanish. He grew a huge following. People loved that show. And so now he can go on and do, you know, Up and Vanish season two, or I did a different podcast about a different cold case. You can go listen to it over there. And so his audience kind of can follow him around to his different shows really easily.
Well, and I will also, I agree. It's totally not one size fits all. And I think seasons are a great way of doing things. And I completely agree. Some of my favorite podcasts that are true crime and investigations are like, you get 8 episodes and then the show is over. And even if you go back and listen to Up and Vanished, that first season seems to just, you're like, come on, let's get to the point. Whereas the subsequent seasons were much more like, okay, we're going to go to this point with this case, and then the show is over. And his newer shows, which I'm also a huge fan of, if you like scary stories, Radio Rental is one of his newest shows, and then Dead and Gone is another true crime podcast that I've listened to from Payne. And they all show a progression. And, you know, you're looking back now at your first shows and going like, oh my gosh, I was so terrible. How did you approach doing personal growth as you continued your podcast and decided, I mean, I'm sure you've had debates with yourself about, okay, I'm a year into this. Am I going to continue? What is it? Did you take classes? Did you research? Did you read books? How did you go about becoming a better host over the years?
Well, one thing I did was I listened. You know, as hard as it is to go look at those negative reviews that people leave you, they do. And you have to take them with a grain of salt, of course. But, you know, I would go and I would look at the reviews I was getting. And some people were like, she talks too much, or, you know, too many ads, or she talks about this brand too much or whatever. And some of that you have to go, are they just jaded and don't like me? Or is this actually good advice? And so I did take a lot of advice from those negative, you know, reviews that I would get. And then another thing I would do is like I said, I've listened to podcasts forever before I started podcasting, been an avid podcast fan for a long time, but I always listened to them for my enjoyment. Once I became a podcaster, I really started listening to some for more education, for analyzing. You know, I listened to Criminal. Do you listen to Criminal?
I haven't listened to Criminal.
Oh my gosh. So Phoebe Judge, I think hands down the best interviewer in the world, you know, aside maybe from Oprah. So she's just great. And so now I listen to her podcast and I'll analyze, oh, I loved how she asked that question. Ooh, I love how she responded to that or gave pause to that moment and things like that. So kind of going back and listening to things with an analytical mind, or even listening to podcasts and going, ooh, like, I don't like the way that they're, you know, talking or bantering or fighting with each other or whatever. And you can really learn what you like and what you don't like from other podcasts, and then just practice implementing and practice doing that. And the only way to do that is by doing it. You know, you just have to put yourself out there and you'll learn as you go.
Absolutely. And I think when you study other podcasts, there becomes this line in your mind where you don't know where it is, you don't know what it is, but when you get there, you go, this is not an interview that I can publish. It's just not something that I can do. And those, I think, are some of the most difficult conversations because if people are reaching back out and they're, you know, hey, where's my episode? And then you're like, But I think that's also critical as a host. And I think that as podcasts grow, that's why it's so nice to have a producer who can deliver those tough news for you. But if it's not going to serve the audience, don't put it out there. If it's not a podcast you want to listen to, don't put it out there. And so before I let you go, I want to talk a little bit about the millions and millions of dollars that you make being a podcast host, right? Straight away, you're making so much money.
I thought you were being serious for a second. I was like, where did she get those numbers?
No. I think that people have the misconception that you're going to start a podcast, it's going to be instantly sensational, and that and advertisers are going to be knocking at your door and that you're going to make millions of dollars, but it's not true. So when you think about, okay, well, now I have this show, what are the basics of making money via a podcast and it not just being a passion project that you sink time into?
So first of all, if that's okay, if you have a passion project that you want to do and you don't necessarily care if it makes money or not, that is great. Because personally, I think the opportunity for creativity in the world of podcasting is just getting started. Like there's so much possibility for creative use of sound, creative use of genre, and all sorts of things that I think we're just starting to like scratch the surface of in the world of podcasting. And so if you have a like kind of a crazy idea or something, like my friend once said she wanted to start a podcast that was just people laughing. And I was like, that's genius. Like, I love that idea. Like, do it, you know? And that's okay. If it's something you put out like a season and it doesn't make money, totally fine. For the rest of us, someone like me, I mean, I was a stay-at-home mom. My husband worked, 9 to 5 as a carpenter, and we struggled financially very hard. So I knew, if I'm going to take time away from being a mom, take time away from my kids, doing this thing, it's got to be worth it. It's got to provide for my family. So right from the beginning, I knew I wanted to monetize. And so if that's your goal from the start, you have to prime your audience for that a little bit. So even if you don't have any sponsors yet, if you want to make money through sponsors and advertising, which is easier than you think, and we kind of go into that in the book a little bit too, then kind of prime your audience for that in the beginning with ad spot type of content, even if that's just, hey, join my newsletter or join my email list, or, anyone can sign up pretty easily to be like an Audible affiliate, right? So finding opportunities like that to do from the start and just take it slow. So my podcast was relatively successful relatively quickly. And it still took me about a year in before I was seeing consistent revenue, consistent income that was, really providing for covering all my overhead, covering the cost of outsourcing some of it, and then being able to help pay the bills. And part of that was also knowing my audience well enough, knowing my audience so well that I knew what could serve them. And so then I was able to create my own products around that served them, making deals with certain affiliates or, brands that said, hey, let's partnership. I've got this audience that would love your product. Let me promote it. Things like that. Does that answer your question? I can't remember the question now, Lindsay.
Yeah, we were just talking about how it is, people go into things thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to make so much money right away. But it takes time to build that momentum. So it definitely does. And I like what you said, is that anybody can join affiliate programs these days. There's a million of them. So even if your podcast is only bringing in a few dollars here and a few dollars there, you have to stick with it and be consistent over time in order to get to the point where you're pursuing potential advertisers.
Exactly. And in this day and age, influence will eventually equal income. If you have influence, you can learn how to monetize that. So in the beginning, to focus on earning that influence, focus on earning that trust, that likability, that consistency with your listeners, because if you don't have that, then you'll never be able to monetize, right? If you don't have people's trust, if you don't have people listening regularly because they know that you're going to give them what they want to hear, there's no way that you'll be able to monetize that.
Absolutely. So you heard it here first, listeners. Go out there, share your message, because honestly, nobody else can except for you. And make it fun, make it creative, make it very specific for other people who love what you love, and get started with your podcast. So Samantha has been kind enough to offer a free ebook to all of our listeners today. It's called How to Pitch, Book, and Crush Podcast Interviews. Samantha, where do they head to download that free ebook?
The best place to go would just be my Instagram, and I've got one of those awesome link trees. I love link trees. They're so awesome. So just go to my Insta. It's at Sam Lee Wright, and that's LeeWright. And then in my bio, there'll be a link tree there. And if you're not on Instagram, my website's just SamanthaLeeWright.com, and shoot me a message there if you have any trouble finding that freebie.
Absolutely. Everybody go pick up a copy of Pineapple Podcasting, the ultimate beginner's guide to creating, launching, and monetizing a podcast with zero experience on a shoestring budget. Samantha, thank you so much for coming and being a guest on The Lindsay Elmore Show.
Thanks, Lindsay. Always great spending time with you.
Hey there, listeners. I wanted to give you a little bit of an update. So last year, we did a survey of all of our listeners and what exactly you were looking for in the podcast. And one of the things that came to light is that, you know, sometimes we get a little broad. We start talking about so many different things that it becomes hard to know what the show is really, really about. So going forward this year, you will hear a much more strategic focus on health and wellness and well-being. So while we just talked to Samantha about the value of podcasting, I started a podcast because I wanted people to learn real strategies to live healthier lives. What I didn't know was that podcasting had very distinct health benefits. So believe it or not, when you are listening to a podcast, a lot of brain chemistry can happen. For example, if you're listening to a meditation podcast, your thalamus and your auditory cortex start to activate and your brainstem activates. And what happens is the brain begins to release a chemical called oxytocin. It's produced by the pituitary gland, and oxytocin is the hormone of love. It's the hormone of connection. It can help to reduce stress and anxiety. So whether by listening to the relaxing sounds of nature or music or white noise, or perhaps listening to a meditation here on this show, you can add in a simple, easy technique to help you unwind as well as release more oxytocin. On the other hand of the equation, when you listen to podcasts and you're like, oh, wow, I'm really into this. What's going to happen next? I'm curious. Your brain starts to produce information through the medulla oblongata, especially if you're listening to things like true crime podcasts, which are some of my favorite podcasts. The medulla produces adrenaline, and this can give you a rush of like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? This fight or flight response starts to kick in, which then releases endorphins, and endorphins are very chemically similar to opioids, meaning that sometimes if you're really into a podcast and you're wondering what's going to happen next, the podcast can become actually a little bit addictive. And so if you ever had those moments where you're like, I'm terrified, but I'm okay with it, that is because your adrenaline is kicking in, which is kicking in dopamine, which is kicking in serotonin. So you've got all these feel-good chemicals happening that even though you're scared, or even though you're on the edge of your seat wondering what is going to happen next, you enjoy the experience. When you laugh when a podcast is on, it can trigger your frontal lobe to send a message to your cerebral cortex. And this is what triggers laughter and delight and surprise, which then can go through and lower levels of cortisol, which can help you with stress reduction. So congratulations, simply by listening to podcasts, you are enhancing your own health and wellness. Now, you may be sitting there saying like, yeah, Linz, but you're not running a true crime podcast or a comedy podcast or even a meditation podcast, even though we do laugh and we do sometimes do meditations, etc. I really love the idea of auditory learning. So if you're an avid podcast listener, chances are you might be an auditory learner where you learn through listening. People who are auditory learners depend on listening and speaking things back as their main form of learning. They can hear what is being said and order it and understand it. And they may have difficulty sometimes with like, if the process of how things are supposed to work doesn't fit what their brain is expecting. But they use listening and repeating to sort through information. They are good listeners as well as typically very good speakers. So if you are listening right now and you really have a knack for getting at the true meaning of someone's words using auditory signals, you may be someone who uses tone and inflection to make emphasis on what you're saying. You also may remember the tone of my voice and like, oh, Linz was talking about this and it sounded like this, or the guest was talking about this and it sounded like this. You also probably can sit down and go, if you're, I think I am an auditory learner because I can listen to a podcast and then sit down the next day and write an Instagram post inspired by what I learned. I've always been very good at oral exams or giving speeches, as well as doing lectures. And so when you are an auditory learner, it's important that you remember that the brain is coordinating what you're hearing with what you're trying to learn. So if you're someone who struggles to sit down with a book and just read the information and go, perhaps turn on some music or turn on some white noise to help encode the brain to listen and learn more, even if you are reading as you go. So congrats, everybody. Listening to this podcast today has been beneficial to your health. Here's to all of the happy feel-good hormones and the genuine human connection that can come from podcasting. The Linz Elmore Show is written and produced by me, Linz Elmore. Show segments are produced by Sue Procco and Kelsey Lorman. Production design, sound design, and editing is by Jive Media. If you have a question about this or any other episode of the podcast, send us an email to hello@lindseyelmoreshow.com. And hey, since you're still here, take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. And while you're at it, go over and follow us on Instagram @LindseyElmoreShow. This helps us bring the pod to more people.